Hello, my friends from the podcast world. This is Jade Bolden, and today our topic is childhood regression. All right, this is a topic that I'm very excited about because it's very effective, and I'm excited to share with you. So what is childhood regression? So if you think about it, do you feel like a kid sometimes? You see the immaturity in others sometimes? Yes, that's probably because the child within us still needs help to resolve certain issues. All right, it's calling out for some attention. So during childhood, we have formed some false beliefs and stored negative emotions associated with events in those formative years that create patterns for our whole life. So childhood regression technique is the name I've given to a technique that helps us resolve childhood issues once and for all. It is a simple technique to help you become more self-aware and take greater responsibility for your actions and choices. Our automatic responses and habits can be self-sabotaging if we are not aware of them. You know what I'm talking about, right? So for example, if you get mad at yourself for messing up, and you feel bad about yourself for days or weeks or months or years or whatever, okay, it's us. We automatically parent ourselves with anger and chastisement the way we would have been treated by an adult, you know, from our youth, okay? If we think back, that's how we were, treated, so we treat ourselves that same way. So perhaps at that time, you've interpreted that chastisement as a message that we can't be trusted, or you can't be trusted, right? That's the message that you receive, because they're yelling at you, they're disappointed in you. You can maybe interpret it as, I disappoint people, or whatever, however you using your limited understanding and experiences, how you interpret that situation. So the false belief that you can adopt could be, I can't be trusted, you know, something similar to that. Okay, so this belief leads to self-doubt and lack of self-acceptance, and you know, it can set a trend for the rest of your life of things that you do when you're not sure, you can't make decisions, just very indecisive, you know. So this is something we can resolve with childhood regression technique. So if you're on my website, you can go to jadebolden.com/ childhood regression. All right. So as I do energy healing work with clients, I've noticed that everything we do takes us to the thoughts and the core belief levels. All right. We can talk about our feelings, till the cows come home, but you know, to resolve it all, those feelings can give us clues and help us identify our thoughts, what our real thoughts are, our subconscious thoughts, and what our core beliefs are under the thoughts. So the goal of this technique is to not only help you address feelings of the past, but discover beliefs that you formed at that time. So this activity is very informative because it helps you learn more about yourself. You know, believe it or not, sometimes we don't know ourselves. You know, this is going to be great. I've learned similar techniques from several sources, including other energy healers and books. But after much prayer, I've modified it to the way I understand it best, which includes an understanding of God's role in our lives. So I hope it helps you the way it has helped me and my clients. So why is childhood regression technique important? Childhood regression technique is empowering. It is important to help you fully own your power to choose and then to create. Okay, so we're not reactive anymore. Things happen, we feel this way, and you know, we feel like we don't have control over our world. This way you will feel more powerful. Okay, so here are some benefits. Ready? It creates more self-awareness and self-mastery. Who doesn't want that, right? Resolves trapped emotions and rewrite false beliefs. It helps increase self-acceptance and self-love. It helps increase faith in and love for God. It disrupts negative patterns in your life, from repeating, and it stops you from blaming more and allowing you to fully be accountable for your choices. Do you know anyone that's 50 or 60 that still blames their parents? Yeah, well, they haven't really moved forward from that childhood stage. So this way, we can move forward and we can live a more fuller, happier life. All right, so how do we do childhood regression work on ourselves? Okay, so there's three steps, really: acknowledge, address, and appreciate. Appreciate is, you know, accept. So I just say appreciate. So you remember the three A's. Okay, so step one, acknowledge. This step is to allow the younger version of you to speak freely. Okay, let them talk freely. All right. So as you investigate and explore this particular time, you may be surprised what comes up that you may not have been aware of. As you retell your story, as you look back and you open your mouth, your subconscious, things come out that you think, oh, well, that's inside of me, huh? Oh, okay. So you need to record these feelings. So have a pen and paper ready. All right, if you have a friend that's working with you, they can record it for you. You can type it up or write it down. All right, so we may not be aware of this, but we have chosen. We choose all our feelings, our responses and reactions to things. We really do. But you know what? Most of the time, we discover that our reactions, okay, our immediate reactions, or, you know, we chose those reactions, but we do it because it's learned and it's inherited automatic response. So if you watch your mom and how she turns a cold shoulder, she does the silent treatment on dad and other people. I mean, sometimes when people are mean, you do the same things, right? You fold your arms, you turn away, whatever it is. And, you know, you've chosen to do that, really. But, you know, it's just so quick and automatic that it seems like you haven't, but you have. And this is how we become more self-aware, and then we act differently here on out when we know what we're actually controlling. So anyways, when you heal though, guys, you can actually heal for your family, past and present too. So as you change and not react the same way as your parents and family used to, then you will actually change the negative patterns for your children and perhaps help your family heal. Okay, so whatever the issue is, okay? So how do you do this? Close your eyes and visualize. Go back to that age, okay? So if you're four, go back to that four-year-old. Find her in your mind, okay? And then you can describe that situation. I'm sitting in my bedroom or whatever it is. I'm on the floor in my bedroom. Okay, picture yourself as clearly as possible. So you are visiting your younger version of yourself, okay? So your younger version of yourself needs to describe how you feel. So ask your younger version to tell you, what are you feeling? What's happening? You know, if mother just left, and you know, some people, their parents divorced, or mom and dad, they're arguing, or whatever it is. What's happening? Ask probing questions of yourself to get down to those core thoughts and beliefs. So you start with feelings. You say, I'm angry, I'm scared, I'm confused. And then you say, why are you confused? Why are you angry? Okay, so ask those questions, and then they can explain, because my mom doesn't love me enough to stay, or whatever it is. Okay, then you found some core beliefs and thoughts. Okay, and then write those things down. So sometimes just talking like that, it resolves things immediately. It just helps heal and bring closure already. And other times it just helps you see things differently, so you can move on to the next step. All right, but this step, just listen to yourself until your younger self feels fully heard and acknowledged, okay? Because sometimes as a child, we get shut down or interrupted. Hey, stop crying. Hey, you know, you're too loud or too, whatever. And then you're interrupted, and sometimes you don't allow like yourself to fully throw a hissy fit. You know what I mean? Sometimes you do feel like you want to throw a tantrum and just let it run its course, but you're not allowed to. And so you bottle it and you stuff it down. Okay. So that negative emotion is still stored inside of you somewhere, like a snowball that keeps growing as it rolls downhill. So you see patterns over and over and over again in your life. So as an adult, you may have downplayed or minimized this situation as you retell it to people. But for that child, for that small child, that is a big deal. You know, that bully, you know, that was mean. And that was a big deal for that kid at that time, okay? And it's still a big deal because you haven't resolved it. Okay, so some examples of how to address, acknowledge, okay, and discover some false beliefs. So here, example one, a child whose parents walked out on her. Okay, you know, she can describe all her false belief, her feelings and stuff, and then you discover, hey, she has a false belief, and her false belief could be, I'm not good enough. You see, that's where it came from. Oh, and all her life, you know, everything she does, she just feels like she's not good enough, you see. Or number two, a child born premature. You know, the thoughts and the beliefs from those feelings could be, I can't finish. I jumped the gun. I'm impatient. All right. So, have you heard stories where people are preemie and they couldn't finish college, has struggled to finish, struggled to hold on to a job, struggled to stay in a marriage or a relationship? They just keep on self-sabotaging and finishing or you know. Jumping the gun basically before they reach the end. So, you know, going back to that age and then resolving it is awesome. Okay, example three is a child bullied at school. I mean, this is very common, right? And we have feelings that come up, and but under those feelings, we've created certain beliefs and thoughts. So sometimes it could be, I don't belong. I don't belong. People don't like me. I fear of rejection. Not good enough, okay, something like that. But just dig in and find out and write down, do you feel like you don't belong? Oh, okay. So a child whose parents divorced, okay, this is common too. And you know, you can talk about those feelings and keep digging those feelings up, and then finally look and see, maybe the false beliefs and thoughts could be, I'm not good enough. Being an adult is hard, and I can't rely on people, or something like that. Okay, so whatever it is that you've adopted as your core beliefs during those formative years, you can identify it this time. And this is the fifth example as of another common thing: a new sibling is born. I mean, that happens to all of us. Sometimes, you know, we don't feel anything. Other times we do. We feel sad and sometimes doubt, and maybe you've adopted a belief that you're abandoned, you're forgotten. Okay, even though the conscious says, no, of course not. I, you know, mom and dad still loves me, but this silly subconscious, it can adopt certain thoughts and beliefs, and then it holds on to it, and then it looks for evidence for it, and then that grows and grows. Okay. So we just need to find these things and clean it out. So you're the cleaning lady. All right. Step two, address. So as adults, we you know, can't see relief or resolution in sight for some things. Sometimes we just want to get through things, and there's just boundaries because that child within has never had that certain needs met. Okay. So it's just still, you're still pushing through some things. So you can imagine that subconscious is still asking for those same things and never feels satisfied. So I know a gentleman who has a fetish for shoes, right? Because he wanted a new pair of shoes to play basketball with his friends, and his father, you know, promised but never delivered, and he just never got one. And as an adult, he was able to purchase himself one, but it was never enough. He wanted more and more and more until he filled up cupboards full and shelves full of these very cool, expensive shoes, you see. But you can imagine if we go and resolve the belief underneath those blocks. We might find that we can finally find relief and peace and success and joy. right? So, this is a really good time to just reflect and see some things that you're doing that you might be able to change. So this step helps us finally resolve certain issues from that childhood. So you are the only one who knows exactly what that younger version of you need. So you need to say words that you've wanted to hear to yourself, okay? So how to do the addressing part. So in your mind, give your younger self what he needs. For example, if she needed to be warm her up, give her something warm, or to be read to, do it in your mind, okay? So the next step here is, with that current adult understanding for you of the situation, you can go back to the younger self and help that younger self understand the situation better. So it's sort of like you explaining to yourself. Yes, as an adult consciously, you think, oh gosh, it's like this and this. But still, that child needs to hear it in her own way, in the way that she can understand it. So help him or her see the situation in a more positive perspective with perhaps some explanations. Okay, so here's what I mean. I'll give you some examples. Example one. So his father promised him a bike but failed to give it to him. He worked all summer long so he can earn a bike, and the father totally forgot about it. Yes, as an adult, he says, well, we were poor, so that was kind of selfish of me to want a bike. But that little kid inside still wanted a bike. You know what I mean? So in this guy's mind, I had to ask him to close his eyes and give yourself a bike. What does it look like? Okay, it's yours. Go ride and go ex love it and go play with it. So in his mind, he had to experience that. Okay, so it just brings a bit of closure. Oh, finally got it, kind of thing. All right, another example. Example two, a child who was locked up in her room. So this is such a sad story. This girl, her parents weren't ready to be parents, and they didn't know what to do with their kid, so they locked her up in the room and kind of pretended she wasn't there. Gave her food and stuff like that she needed, but she cried and nobody was there for her. She decided to take care of herself. She learned to take care of herself. All right. But going back to this child, at 4 years old or whatever, what did she need? And this girl, I asked her, what do you need? What do you want? And she said, I want the door open. And so I said, go back and open that door. And she did. And then, what else do you want? And she says, I just want to go out. And I said, well, take her out. Where does she want to go? She wants to go to the mountains. Yeah, take her out and help her feel free. So this woman did. And in fact, in reality, she took her two kids to the mountains a little while later for a vacation. So that was kind of fun. But it's just liberating. Oh, you finally got that relief, So number three example, a child who needs some loving attention. Okay, he was bullied at school, he was bullied on the bus, and mom and dad's not home, the nanny's there, but he really wanted mom. She didn't come home till very late, and he just wanted someone to hug him and tell him he's okay. Right, he experienced some trauma today and he just wants someone to love him. So he hands her a book and she says, hey son, you're a big boy, go to bed. And he felt rejected, okay? But this boy, what does he need? How do we address his concern? So we need to go to him at this age and tell him you're loved, you're okay. And he needed somebody to read to him as a way to for him to feel loved. So somebody to spend that time with him. So, this man, he read himself a book, right? And tucked himself to bed in his mind. And that was so powerful. So, that's what he needed, and he knew what words he needed to hear. So you need to tell yourself those things, okay? Example number four, this is me. She wanted her own space in that crowded refugee camp. I just didn't feel like I was, a person. I was not an individual. Sharing this space with a lot of people for all that for the whole time I was in the refugee camp, it was suffocating. So in my mind, I had to go back and I had to set up a little corner that was mine. And I had to put a little bed in that corner, and that was mine, that I could have some space away from all these people. So, it's so liberating. And, when you do that, it just brings tears of relief for these people, okay? So much better than just talking and talking and talking to a shrink or something, right? So, you're doing something about it. So here's another example, number five. Her parents divorced and she blames herself. Okay, so you can go back there and just sit with her, hug her, hold her hands, whatever, in your mind, and just say, hey, you know what? Guess what? Your mom, she had a baby when she was a teenager, and she tried and tried, and she's still a kid inside, and she just got scared and she ran away. Okay, just explain to her the situation. It's not you, nothing to do with you. She still loves you very much. She's really confused right now. So is that okay? And you know what? Your grandma's gonna be with you. You've got a great dad. Just tell her stuff that she needs to hear, and explain stuff. Sometimes us adults, we forget to explain things to children. I do this all the time. Sometimes I'm driving places and I've told the older two kids, but I didn't tell the younger kids where we're going. And halfway there, they're like, "What? Where are we going? What are we doing today? Why are we in the car with her?" And I'm all, "Oh, okay, I forgot." So hey, we do our best. But so if this child needs some real good explanation, who better to do it than you? Okay, so you take this very objective perspective, go back in that time, and resolve it, help that child address the issue. Okay, so that's the second step, address. Okay, the third step is appreciate and accept. Appreciate and accept. This is an important step, very important. So I hear people say, oh, I've forgiven my family, I've forgiven this person who's wronged me, I've forgiven, but they still look like they hold on to that fear or that pain. All right, so that's not fully letting go. This step here includes God, because he's powerful, guys, right? You need to fully surrender to God. Hand that pain over, right? Put that on the altar. Let him deal with it. Okay. The life lessons repeat itself if you don't. All right. You don't want to be going around in circles anymore. This is it. All right. Be done. So I believe the family, the country, the culture you were born in was orchestrated by God. And when you feel like your life isn't successful, things are not going the right way, as you had hoped and feel, guess what? Sometimes our version, our idea of success isn't the same as God's. Okay, so perhaps our idea of perfection and success is totally different. So just be open to things. There is a reason for things and why things happen, right? So just be open to that and just accept that reality. Take those victim glasses off, and just fully accept that this there's something good here, even though it has seemed like it's bad and it's hurt you all these years. Okay, so God is more concerned about your progression than your comfort. But it seems to me that you become more comfortable the more you surrender to the process. So this means you allow and accept and appreciate the lessons that come. So you're not just accepting, you come to the point where you really appreciate it. And I saw a lady one time, and she had just a big trauma. Her husband left her and left the faith that they held on together, right? So it's a big shock, but the lessons she learned, and she appreciated the growth. And she said, you know what? If I were to have to go through it again, I would. As painful and as dark as it was, I would. And that's true faith. That's true surrendering, guys. So I believe God will consecrate all things for our benefit. So whatever it is that we have gone through, there's something good in there. I promise. I've seen it over and over, and that's how we fully heal. So, well, this step here, you got to think about this. You got to write this down and consider God how he allowed things to happen as part of a perfectly orchestrated plan that benefits us in some way. So you got to list things you can appreciate about that particular childhood situation. Okay. And then the next thing here is talk about how you can accept the lessons as it plays out to refine you, to reform you into the person you are today. You will fully heal, okay, when you've learned to appreciate the situation of your youth. All right, that's a lot to ask, but it's possible and you can do it because you wouldn't have had this trial otherwise, okay? So I'll give you some examples. Example one, a lady whose mother walked out on her, okay? She now chooses to be a better parent to her children, having learned from the experiences of her youth. She now practices intentional parenting. Her kids have an awesome parent, right? And she, her pains gave her passion and drive so she can be an excellent parent now, all right? And her kids' kids will have a fantastic grandparent, right? So see the good in that, okay? See how you can perhaps have a Christ-like love for people, right? Looking back, her mom was only a teenager, right? When she accidentally got pregnant and she had to be married. So you have this unique charity now and perspective, okay? To fully let go and appreciate. Thank you for shining that spotlight on this particular topic, you know, of parenting. And I will do my very best because I know how it can hurt somebody when they miss out on that. Okay. So with me, number two example here, my refugee traumas helped me to be aware of those who have traumas. And I am now encouraged to seek people out. And when I see people, I get so excited. That passion drives me because I know I can help them. I know I can help them. Be encouraged to grow from their experience instead of seeing it as post-traumatic stress and suffering from it and wearing it as a label. We can have post-traumatic growth and it refines us. So it helps me see people's trapped and unresolved emotions as opportunities for them to grow. So that's what, you know, is good about the situation that I went through. Right. So I fully accept it. And, you know, if I have to, right, you know, if I could go back in time and Heavenly Father says, hey, do you want to choose this? I think I chose that the first time. So I'll choose it again. Right. So number three here, a lady who was shut down for having too much fun. I mean, she was laughing really loud with her cousins and things, and her parent, her mother shouted at her, just shook her up really with that energy, and it just kind of traumatized her. It was a small thing, but you know, as an adult, you look back and you think it's a small thing, but it caused her to create some false beliefs, right, about having fun. And now with this, she can appreciate that, and she's learned some lessons, and she uses that to change and help people and remind them that they can have fun. They're allowed to have fun, and that, you know, people are not responsible for other people's happiness, right? That she thought she was, and now she can realize, and she sees that in people, and she can help them see that too. So you see that we can turn that pain around and reach out and help others, because now we have a special empathy, right? So my hero is Christina Noble, and you know, she's this was Irish woman who was homeless and had all sorts of traumas in her life, deaths of her parent and siblings and things. Anyways. She had a vision and she needed to go to Vietnam, and now she has this special connection with the kids, the homeless kids in Vietnam. And she's helped, I think, over 700,000 kids, you know, get off the streets and have a life again. Imagine God using this person, helping her learn the lessons, and then she turning around and being this amazing saint-like being. And because she's so tough, She was not discouraged when trying to form that Christina Noble Foundation for these homeless kids. You know, those people, the communists, they didn't faze her. She didn't get scared when they turned her down and when, you know, threatened this and that. She stood her ground. And that refining childhood, it helped her be the person that she is today. And we love and admire people like that, right? They march to their own drumbeat, and they don't care what everyone else is going to say. They will do their thing. So you see how there's this beautiful silver lining in things, and you come to appreciate the wisdom of God in you know your certain situation. So we no longer go round and round in circles anymore. We transcend. Okay. So how do you help others do this? You have friends that just talk about the same old things and have the same patterns, meet the same guys and get the same abuse and whatever it is, they self-sabotage and they just can't get out of it. How do you help them? So what you can do is help them go through these steps, okay? There's only three steps. And it can be like a very emotional, I guess, session. Okay, the goal is for you to ask questions to help them identify core thoughts and beliefs. Help them write it down and then help them review it later so that they can review it later. Stay objective, unattached, and non-judgmental. Okay, so be as understanding as possible. So it is best to do the activity with someone you trust and love because they see you, the good in you, they see your heart. Okay. And you helping people, you might see things and hear things that they might miss as they go through their steps. So I'll give you an example. My friend and I were working on helping me heal the asthma that I was suffering from. I suffered asthma as a child all the way up to adulthood, right? I had carried Ventolins with me. I didn't want to, I wanted to heal from it. So as I retold my story, she said something at 2 years old, because we muscle test and we do that. And 2 years old, where was I? Oh, okay. I was at the refuge, was in our boat escaping Vietnam. Okay, so I tell her this story. And I say, well, on the boat, I had to be quiet because there's 20 people there or so that would, whose lives might be in danger if I were to make noise. And she said, stop right there. And she said, Jade, what did you have to do to be quiet? And I replied, I had to hold my breath. And then it dawned on me, I held my breath. And I was holding my breath ever since then, you know, as I grew up. And I continued to be responsible for people's well-being. I let myself, right? No one thought to tell me I could breathe again. So as soon as I said, Jade, you can breathe normally again, I just cried and cried like I was that 2-year-old kid. It just all came out. And I didn't even know it was inside of me. It just was such a big relief. And all those tears, where did that come from? But I cried it out. And you know what? I haven't had some, you know, asthma problems since. And it could be, you know, that I've cleared other things that is linked and related to all that too. But finally, this childhood regression got me down to the core, the place where it started for me. Okay, so we can blame, hey, the toxins and the vaccines or the whatever that I got. Hey, it could be those accumulated, but our body, our energy stores it, you know, from certain age from certain events too. Okay. So essential oils, of course, I have to talk about essential oils, right? It helps things go faster. So you can think and think and think certain thoughts and try to change, but essential oils help you rewrite stuff and reconnect and rewire that brain so fast. So we want to do that, okay? We want to change quickly. Okay, so what I've discovered is the people that have had a lot of childhood issues have a lot of lower chakra oil needs, okay? Because the lower chakra is about childhood years, the formative years. Okay, so some of the oils that come up, it might overlap, so it might be good for the first chakra and the second chakra, or the second chakra and the third chakra. Okay, but most likely the oil color, a good clue is the oil color on the bottle. The reds and the orange and the yellows are the lower chakras. Okay, so on my website, you can see there's a link on this post that can help you go and learn more about chakras, which chakra to use. So let me share with you the chakras and the developmental ages. So chakra one is the root chakra, and it's from ages 0 to 7. Chakra two is the sacral, which is age 7 to 14. Chakra three is the solar plexus, and it's age 14 to 21. Okay, so those are the ages. So I'll give you some oils for them. Chakra one, you can use cinnamon, abebe, cassia, lemongrass, patchouli, purify. Now, remember what I tell people. If the oils are yummy to you and you love it, you smell it and you think delicious, I want to eat you. It's the oil you need and you are ready for. If emotionally, if it's yucky and it stinks to you, then it might be an oil that you need but are not ready for emotionally. Okay, so I know people argue, oh, if you don't like it, then you don't need it. Well, look at the emotion. I can almost guarantee you that you need it. Okay, it could be inherited stuff as well. You think, oh, but that's not really me. Ask yourself, is that my mom or dad, perhaps? Right? Did it possibly come from them? Okay, so it's just a way for you to figure out yourself and be more self-aware. So, chakra two, cinnamon again, wild orange, citrus bliss, chia, passion, purify, lavender, jasmine. And chakra three, bergamot, lemon, chia, bergamot, petitgrain, sorry, and ginger. Okay. So you know, when the child is too young, she or he doesn't know to distinguish between bad behavior and being bad. So sometimes when bad things happen at that age, sometimes we internalize it and think it's us that's bad. So, oh, I messed up, I've spilled, I broke a plate, I'm a bad person. Instead of, well, that was not a good behavior, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. So, as a child, we don't know that. So, we have to go back and kind of rewrite our minds. Okay, so these oils will help you identify these false beliefs. So if you use, muscle tests, or you just feel like, oh, you know what, the Abhavita is calling to me, it just pops out from the page, then ask yourself, look at the emotions, and am I like this or like this or like this? Okay, so I'll give you another example, bergamot. So it's an oil of self-acceptance, right? But then when you read the emotions, the self-judgment comes up for you, and then you can ask yourself questions like, how do I judge myself at that age? What did I say? How did I? What conclusions did I come to? About myself. So those are good questions to ask, so you can figure out yourself a little bit better. Okay. So in conclusion, even if you had a great childhood, and you've got fantastic parents, sometimes you still have things to resolve. Most of us are here on Earth. All of us are here on Earth to learn lessons. Okay, so no one's going to be exempt. All right. So sooner or later, there's something for us to learn. So even good parents are not perfect. We do our best. Situations happen. We wish we could have changed things, but we can't. We can't control the world. So there's things that we still can change. But with this knowledge that we have now, we can help our children, our current children, work through things. And you know what? As best as we try, sometimes we don't know when things are trapped, emotions are trapped, and you don't know when things need to be resolved until they grow a little bit bigger to be recognized and identified. Okay? So just remember to have hope and faith that we can all change and progress. all of us have an ability to change. So sometimes, you know, I hear people talk about others and say, oh my gosh, there's no hope for that person. Well, yeah, maybe that person is still stuck at this particular age, and somehow, you know, when the time's right, they fall on their face hard enough, they'll find something to fix it, and they might, you know, have a chance after all. I feel like God makes sure that we learn our lessons, so there's going to be opportunities. So here's some questions that I get. So question one is, what if I don't remember what happened at that age? So sometimes I say, okay, what happened at four? Oh, I don't know. I have a good childhood. I don't know. My parents were awesome. I don't know. Okay, so sometimes the oils that come up, or your current situation. So I'll give you an example. This girl, she's writing a book, and she's frustrated with herself, and she's feeling confused why she can't finish the book, and she's just almost finished, but she's just right there at the end, but just can't quite get over that hump. So a muscle test is somewhere around age 8, and she's like, nope, you know, we're good, no traumas, no dramas, nothing. And so we just had a few oils that we looked at, you know, feeling hurt and whatever, and she's like, I don't know why I would feel hurt at that time. So we kind of resolved it and cleared it and say, hey, just use it for the next few days, weeks, whatever. And so she did. And then 4 days later, she calls me up and she says, Jade, I have a revelation. She said, look, I was thinking, it just came to me that at that age, I wrote a book. I wrote a really good book, and my teacher was so excited about it. We put it in the school library, and everyone made a big fuss about it. She got awards and stickers and things. And she said, and I got to go and show the other classes my beautiful book. And finally, when she was able to bring it home, she handed it to her father and her stepmother. And maybe she handed it to them at the wrong time or something. Who knows? But they tossed it on the ground and they said, hey, what's this rubbish? Right? And she was crushed because she had expected them to be super excited, as the whole school was, but they weren't. And so here's her subconscious saying, no, 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 you're not allowed to finish that book. You'll feel, you know, hurt and crushed or whatever. So she got it. I mean, it took her a couple of days, but she got it. And sometimes, you know, something else might happen for you to remember. You know, we might have, you know, deleted it in our memories because maybe it was too difficult to handle. Who knows? But if you don't remember, just look at the oils and it might give you some clues. So there you go. Okay, so... if you can't remember, you ask yourself questions like, okay, four, would that be sometime around the time you started preschool or kindergarten, or was that when your sister was born? Okay, so ask yourself some of those questions too, just to help trigger that memory. Okay, so a question I get too is, how do I know what age I need to work on? So whatever the issue is currently, we'll give you a clue as well, okay? So like a man who's trying to find work and he just gets rejection after rejection. So what are we looking at? We're looking at rejection. So you can ask, okay, what age was the first time that you kind of trapped that feeling of rejection? So, you know, one time I muscle tested this gentleman and it was seven years old. And I said, okay, what about this age, you know, that has to do with rejection? And he's like, well, I guess there was this one time, it's not a big deal, but there's this one time that these kids bullied me and then, you know, pushed me in the dirt, and then I was bullied again on the bus, and, you know, and it's, I'm like, wait a second, that's not a, you know, a small issue. That's a big issue for that 7 year old. So we kind of talked about that situation, okay? And that helps resolve the current situation that you're dealing with, right? For me, I got the Ylang Ylang oil, and it's about disconnected from inner child. So the age I came to was 2 years old. And I thought, huh? You know, I was a kid then. But then it came to me that, hey, my dad was on another boat and that boat was separated from us, and I had to take care of mom and baby brother because I was the oldest daughter and I was two, you know, and I may not have been that helpful, but in my head, I felt like I had to grow up. and I can't be irresponsible, and I had to be sensible. And as I grew up, I was very mature and had an aversion to playing, because playing meant I was irresponsible, you see. And then there you go, I found it. Play is irresponsible. So I had to clear that, cancel in my head, and I have to rewrite it. And I rewrite it by saying, I am allowed to play. You know, I am taken care of. I don't have to hold on to, and control everything and care for everyone. It's not my complete responsibility. Okay. So another question here is, how long does it take to change beliefs? So sometimes it takes a few months, sometimes it takes longer. But with the oils, you can smell it and you can rewrite it. So, like me, I can smell that ylang ylang and say, I'm allowed to have fun. I'm allowed to play. And I can use that for months and months until I feel like, you know what? It's change. I am playing and I feel good. And that oil smells amazing to me. Okay, so it could have started out stinky, but now it smells amazing. So that's how I gauge how long it takes for me to change beliefs and for you to change beliefs. I mean, if you know how to muscle test, it makes things so much easier. You can muscle test at the age, you can muscle test, how long you need it for. Your muscle testing is only a physical way of just tapping into your intuition. So if you have strong intuition, you've got it. Alrighty, guys, I am so happy that I had a chance to share this with you. For more information, go to jadebodden.com/childhoodregression. If you want to, just go to my website, jadebodden.com, and just type in the search bar and it'll come up. And I'm glad that, and I got a chance to talk. If you have any questions or comments, please go ahead and comment below. Share this podcast with your friends and family. And if you would like a session, an energy healing session with me, you can go ahead and book a session on my website as well. Alrighty, so I wish you all the best, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye for now.